sure.
Don't you know that in all things your God is Jehovah?
Yeah. Which was our
question? Excuse me?
What was our question?
No, that it's not good to you.
Well, she was saying that Jesus Christ is not God, where the Bible says Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Yeah.
You see, God could come down here and be a rock if he wanted to. He could be a building. He could be a tree. He could be anything he wants to be. He chose to come into the world as a man. And he was born of a virgin. And in order for us to know that he was God when he came, he wrote a book about himself before he came.
And what is the object of your...
The object is to put men under a conundrum or between a dilemma. Either Jesus Christ is who he said he was, or he was a madman or a liar.
Yeah.
Now, I'm here to put you in that dilemma. If he is God, like the Bible says he is, like he said of himself, then are you living for him? If he's a lunatic, then how do you explain the fact that the works that followed his life are not the works of a lunatic?
Yeah. Why do you choose that place tonight?
Because this is where people are.
Yeah.
In other words, if I go to a mall, it's private property. If I go to a street where automobile traffic is going down, I can't stand around and talk to people.
That becomes a question of moral.
The morality of the place is obviously degenerate. It's a step away from Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's not the reason I'm here. I'm here because it's public property. We have liberty. It's a place where people can stand around and talk. And so I use this as a vehicle. If I were in Europe, and I have friends that are in Europe doing this very thing, they go out on the city streets during the daytime because people are moving around with in-town pedestrians on foot. You know, they're not on foot in the United States except in places that are cooler temperatures and things like that. See?
Do you think that there's something degenerate here? Because of the alcohol and the party and...
The party life always ends in tears and sorrow. The party life, always every sin that a person commits has a penalty associated with it. And either a person will have to pay for that penalty himself, and the penalty can be here and hereafter. Hereafter, it'll be hell. Here, it's throat cancer and drunks and wrecks and murders. And you see, those are the penalties for wicked living, for adultery and fornication, and lying and abortion. See, there's a penalty associated with those things that causes heartaches and tears all the time here. Now, hereafter, it'll be burning in hell. Now, the reason Jesus was whipped like you have in this picture here was because he wants your heart. He wants your affections. And when you give him your heart and he comes into your heart and into your body to live in there with you, he pays, God accepts his blood as a payment for the penalty that you owe for those sins.
Okay, and you talk about dilemma. If it's not possible to have fun like that, what kind of fun could be compared to that?
There are a lot of diversions that people have in life that aren't negative and don't have a penalty associated with them. You can find a thousand diversions in life that don't bring you into a judgment of God for them, sailing or boating or horseback riding, or diversions in life, sporting games and things like that. But even those can be made into idolatry. They can be made into a substitute for God. The thing is that the eternal things of finding the will of God and doing them are going to cause you to have eternal rewards after you're saved. See, if you're being saved is having somebody that purges your sins. And the only one that can do that is somebody who is sinless and then who loves you enough to die in your place for you. And that's Jesus. Now, after you're saved, finding the will of God and doing it is going to give you great rewards. It's going to give you great peace with God.
What could you propose to those people who try to search?
Well, I say first get saved. You see, the reason they're trying to search for pleasure in the things that God...
Yeah, but rationally, it's just another activity that they could do.
I say that the Bible says, he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Now, if you want to abide forever, you start out doing the will of God, which is to receive God's Son as your Savior. And then you go as a daily walk. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So what is the Spirit? The Spirit, when you get saved, the Spirit doesn't have to walk away and leave you to wander in the wilderness on your own. The Spirit of God will guide you and direct you. He may allow diversions in your life if what you want is the will of God. He may allow you to be a soccer player. He may allow you to garden or do things. You know, he certainly encourages you to have a wife and to rejoice with the wife of your youth.
Is that your wife?
That's my wife. We got two adult boys and three grandchildren, and we've been married for 30 years, and we've had great joy all those 30 years because we tried to find the will of God and do it. Whereas our peers and people who didn't care about the will of God are already been to two and three and four wives.
And who is your name?
My name is Ken Lansing. My wife is Frida.
May I ask you what you're doing in life?
Yeah, my support. I earned my support by being an accountant. In America we call them CPAs. I'm a certified public accountant, and I sell accounting software.
Okay.
So known as ACPAC. It's also available in France.
And you relate with what church?
I go to an independent Baptist church. I'm a Bible believer, and I go to a Baptist church because I think the Baptists stick closest to the Bible. We believe in a literal interpretation of the Bible, unless it uses the word like or as or similes and things like that. And we believe that God wrote this book because God said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost guided them. The reason I believe this book is the Word of God is because it's the only book on earth that tells history in advance.
Yeah. Do you believe in apocalypse?
I believe in what?
Apocalypse? Do you think that the apocalypse? Yeah.
Certainly, that's the book of Revelation. Yes, I believe every word of it. And it is yet future. But just like parts of the book of Revelation is yet future, there are parts of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that are yet future, that have not yet been fulfilled.
What could be the end of the future?
I can't hear you.
What could be the end of the world? what kind of catastrophe?
Well, the Bible says that there'll be a rapture of the believers. The church is not a continuation of God dealing with Israel. It's not a replacement of God dealing with Israel. And so when the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, I believe, or 27, it says, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, then all Israel will be saved. So the fullness of the Gentiles to come in will be marked by the rapture, or the taking away, the pulling out of the world, the believers in Jesus, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
But you can't find something in the political actuality?
The thing that shows you that we're close to the end, there are two verses. There are two things that indicate the nearness of the rapture. Those are found first in the restoration of the nation of Israel, found in Ezekiel 38. The next thing is
so we're at
That's the first key. The second key is that Jesus said, when you see the budding of the fig tree, know that a generation will not pass until all things are fulfilled. Now that fig is a type of Israel, the nation of Israel. The Bible says that the Jews went about to establish their own righteousness, and a fig was a type of self-righteousness. And so the nation of Israel is that fig tree. So when you see the budding of the fig tree, the nation of Israel restored as a nation, 1948, 1 year before I was born, or 1 year after I was born. I was born in 47.
You don't believe in the New Testament?
Certainly I believe in the New Testament. That's where Jesus said, when you see the budding of the fig tree, know that a generation will not pass. Now, the issue is, when's the budding? Exactly, when was the bud, and how long is a generation? And so a generation has various lengths in the Bible, so we cannot set a specific date and know, you know, and be able to accurately say what day Jesus Christ is going to come back. We believe he'll return in the spring, because in the book of Song of Solomon, he says, "My beloved, when the winter is past and the rains are over, my beloved comes skipping on the mountains." So we believe that's the rapture.
And what could finish? What do you have to say to the people in Canada that will maybe see that those image?
Well, I say to the people of Canada that we appreciate their standing along with us in wars of the past. We wish they had stood with us in the current issue that was faced, and we're saddened by that.
There's something politics in your
Certainly.
Yeah.
But I would say that Jesus Christ is going to return, and he's going to fix all the problems that this world has. He's going to set up a kingdom that's going to last for 1,000 years here, according to the apocalypse. And if you want to be part of it, if you want to enjoy the glory of God forever, then you receive Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he wants to come into your heart and have a personal relationship with you. And he has a plan for your life that you can be involved in.
Just some quick marketing advice. I recommend both sides.
That'd
be good. Just because I'm in marketing, and that would be much better if you had it on both sides.
Well, good deal. Thanks for your advice. And so
it's a bit ironic, I think.
He had to have something to say.
Yeah.
So
you think that Jesus come in to maybe George W. Bush to do something to try to have liberty somewhere else in the world, like in Iraq? that could be a comment. Do you think that there's that maybe you could make relation between war and what's in the bag?
Between what?
You said that Canada could face the issue. That's right. About the war.
About the war. Well, I think they. I wish they had stood with us.
Yeah.
As neighbors and as.
And you think it's a good idea to make war?
Well, okay. There's evil in the world, and God has given governments the authority to execute evil. And even if I mean, we had a duty to ferret out the criminals who attacked us and who seek to destroy us, and in that sense,
what's the link between Saddam and United States?
Well, we think that the link is that he was associated with Osama bin Laden. We think that he was paying. We believe that he's paying $20,000 a family for bombing people. Well, that's not right in a civilized world. Terrorism is not war.
Yeah, and what you know, some old governments did some participation in Panama and some country, for example, in North America. Do you think that's a kind of terrorism? Just
well, in Panama and other parts of the world. Well, I'm sure there is terrorism going on in other parts of the world, but it doesn't, you know, as far as we know, if there were a supposed link between the attackers of our country and any other country, I think our country should go and ferret them out. Now I don't think that
that's the role of the United States to do that.
I think that our duty is not a sense of a role, but I think our duty is to avenge. That's what the Bible says, that a government is an avenger of evildoers.
And what about an organization like the UN, United Nations?
I don't think that our country should be involved in the United Nations at all. I think the United Nations is a prelude to the one world government that the Antichrist intends to set up. And that the United Nations is paid for by our country and supporting a multitude of other countries. They want to see our country destroyed and are really only in it for the retirement program that goes to them as individuals.
I think you're very courageous personally to do that kind of action. That's your role. What you have to do. That's what your mandate to do.
When I got saved, I came from street parties or partying, a party life. And I got saved in 1970, and so by 1971, I've been going out on the streets to talk to people in environments like this.
Did you have some bad reaction?
Oh well, nothing that drew any blood, as far as I know.
No drunk people.
Of course,
try to battle you.
That's just comes with the territory.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
Well, thank you all and I hope you enjoy. Let me show you one verse. See, I believe the Bible's a supernatural book. Here it says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. If you ended up in hell, that wouldn't be very rich, would it?
Rich, yeah.
And so rich is where you'd end up in heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus made these ears, and He'll hear you because He made them. He can hear you when you call on Him. Whosoever, that's anybody, everywhere, all over the world, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
So everybody in the world, all the people, all the culture, all the nation are equal if they believe in God.
If they receive Jesus Christ, they can go to heaven. Anything else will end them up into the lake of fire.
Mohammed, not possible.
Buddha, Mohammed. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you can get to heaven by being good, which is what all religion is, that's what Buddhism is, system of works to gain merit in God's eyes. If you can get to heaven that way, then Jesus was a liar, and everybody who trusts Him will end up in the lake of fire. But Buddha was not written about before he was born. Muhammad, nobody wrote a book about him before he was born. Nobody gave thousands of details about Mahatma Gandhi before he came to earth. But Jesus had a book, had a nation, he had a story about him written before his entrance into the earth. So you would know that he's God and that he's able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him because he ever lives.
So you don't think the learn that we could have with other religion could be equal to what Jesus said and what's written in the Bible?
Oh, because I asked the imam at the local Islam temple. I said, show me one place in the Quran that's written down history in advance that came to pass after it was written down. He can't show me one place.
Okay.
Rig Veda? No. The Bhagavad Gita? Nothing. Nothing any place in any religious book ever writes down events before they come to pass. But the Bible does thousands of times. It's the only book on earth that tells history in advance.
Thank you again.
What's your name?
David.
David, can we have a word of prayer together?
I'm not really religious. I'm really atheist.